This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Off to Neverland Travel. If you're booking your next vacation, you've heard of us talking about them all year. Get with the Magic Maker. Heck, become a Magic Maker yourself. And you can do that by just heading over to their website. It's a specific URL just for us. Go to neverland.com. They'll help you hook you up with a quote. You'll talk to somebody awesome, a great Magic Maker. And as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
Let's do it now on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, September 28th. This is episode 1532.
1532
of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
Terry's back. Yay!
It's not like he was really gone. He was on both episodes.
Oh, that's true. But, well, no, not the last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought there were no listener questions the last episode.
There's a trip report, though.
There was a trip report.
Oh, that's right. I didn't count that. It was very interesting. It sounded like you were incredibly emotional through the whole thing.
I was just, could barely speak.
I just love that you kept blaming it on the secondhand smoke. It's like, I mean, you can admit you're sick, man.
Yeah, the environment in France got us.
It happens. Yeah. Happens to me all the time, if you know what I mean. Environment in France gets me. For those who don't know, Terry's been on a worldwide trip through Disney Cruises and Disney Paris. And we're going to get to Paris next week. But this week, and Lynn will be joining us later. But this week, we want to talk a little bit about you did a European cruise on the Magic.
On the Disney Magic, we did their standard issue Mediterranean cruise. A lot of fun.
What kind of room?
In a standard balcony.
Okay.
I believe a category 5A.
Oh, man, you do not want to be on a cruise ship during a category 5 storm.
Bad news bears. Okay, so what does that entail, and what was it like? Just you and your wife? I mean, a bunch of people were with you, but just you and your wife sharing one room.
Wife and I in one room, and then my brother and his wife in another room. They were in an inside stateroom.
They're young.
And then my mom... And my wife's mom and then one of our family friends were in a deluxe family stateroom.
All right.
Which really just meant there's an extra bed in there.
Right. So in your room, you had what?
I had standard king, queen size bed.
Yeah, queen. No king.
Queen. No,
they king. They don't kings. Even if you get the royal suite.
No, the Walt suite has the, I think it has, the, no?
Not the ones I've stayed in. Mm. And not to sound all fancy, man, but I have stayed in one. Nope. Queen beds.
I thought you were in the Roy suite.
I was in the Roy. Mom and Dad were in the Walt.
Oh.
And neither, they're exact same. They're just reversed. And neither of them have king beds, which is like, come on now.
Yeah, which, you
there's
got
to be some weird, like maritime water law. Regulation. Like, it has to be something, because why? I paid more than I would have for a night than I would have just for a king mattress.
Yeah, I would have paid extra for a larger mattress for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rooms, the typical, you know, the Disney does the special rooms where they have the two bathrooms. So you have the sink toilet and then the tub sink.
His and hers.
Yeah. It's nice for getting ready and when you have to get ready and stuff like that. So
it is one of the older ships, right?
It's the original. The Magic was the first one they built.
1990-something.
98, I believe, yeah.
So, but they've redone it recently.
Yep. It's got the aqua dunk.
Difference of that is the floor drops out, right?
Yeah, it drops
out. It's kind of like Dustuka.
Oh,
Dustuka. Is Dustuka the one that does that?
Yeah, well, Wet and Wild.
Yeah.
I did not do it, but my mom did.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You should have done it. But what did she think of it?
She loved it.
Terry, you're supposed to experience everything for the show.
Yeah.
Well, the aqua dunk was not one of them on this trip.
Now, how long was the cruise?
7 nights. We sailed out of Barcelona. And we got in a day early. Got to experience a little bit of Barcelona. Crazy hot in Barcelona. Which kind of took away from the beauty of the city. Just because everyone was just kind of miserable. And we were just kind of... waiting. We were trying to do the old jet lag prevention where you stay up the whole day, so you kind of try to get on the new schedule. And so by the time dinner came around the night of the cruise, we were all ready to crash. But I got to experience a little bit of the city. And
so for the cruise, because it's most important to people, is this Magic cruise the same one that you'd go on in the States? It just happened to be not obviously stops, but like the attractions and the shows and the food.
Yeah, the
that's
shows
all
are
pretty
the
standard.
Yeah, depending on
I everything think is in English.
Everything was in English. What was interesting about this cruise is only 1/3 of the ship was U.S. citizens, which is something I'd never experienced with Disney before. About a third was British or European, and then about a third was Middle Eastern. It was a Muslim holiday the week that we were traveling. So that kind of changed a little bit of the Disney cruise dynamic. But it was a fantastic, it was a little more diverse than I've ever been on in Disney cruise, but it was, which made the food kind of interesting.
What do you mean?
Well, they had...
so they knew.
Like
they
halal offerings and stuff?
They had like a Euro bar on top, which I'd never seen them do before. Kebab. And then they had like, kebabs. And then they had like baked beans at breakfast, which was a little weird.
For the Brits. Yeah.
For the Brits, so...
Okay, so they do actually change it up for the people that are on the ship. That's pretty cool. But the show's same. You saw the Tangled the Musical?
Tangled the Musical was fantastic.
How long is that show? Like an hour?
They're all like right 45. At the 49 minutes with an annoying cruise director introducing the show.
I like the cruise director, but not a good director.
Yeah, she was okay. Yeah. Clayton's my favorite. He's like this big bodybuilder guy. He's like...
Yeah, I've had him once.
I've had him. He's a lot of fun. There are definitely ones that are...
Memorable.
Memorable, and there are other ones that are like, wow, you're just using every adjective you can possibly use to drive me nuts. But the Tangled show was fun, and then they did, in the pub, you'd love this, they kind of did a overlay of this of the duckling, what is it, the...
I have no idea. The snuggly duckling.
The snuggly ducklings.
What's the pub that's in Tangled, where the frying pans...
Oh, I don't know what it's called, but sure, yeah, it's something duckling, you're right.
They overlay that on the pub on the ship for like an hour after the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
And do like some crazy bingo games. We went to that. That was a lot of fun.
You win anything?
No.
I've won once on the bingo. Pretty good.
We don't really play the bingo on the boat. Just because the thing with the Med Cruise, I will tell you, if you're considering going one, compared to like, you know, the standard itineraries they do, it was very port heavy. We had, you know, four stops on the ship. And so there weren't a lot of, you know, a lot of times on a 7-night, you might just have one or two and then cast away. So it definitely felt a lot more intense.
In a good way or bad way?
Some good, some bad. It was fun to experience because we were in Europe and to get to experience that, but it definitely lacked a little bit of the relaxing.
Yeah, I feel like it, almost like you feel like you're almost going.
I like the days at sea.
Oh, man. The last one had 5 days at sea at the end, and that was the
best. That kind of frightens me, though. 5 days back to back?
Uh-huh.
Okay, no, I would lose my mind, but that's just me. I would go crazy not seeing land for 5 days. I don't even know if I can go for more than 5 days.
Ahoy there!
Fireworks,
as always, they were fantastic.
Anything else that's special that people would you? Now, this is the first time you've been on the Magic since the refurb, or not?
Since the refurb, yeah. So the new
compare it then, I guess. Okay, so newer ships, 5 years old, Dream, our fantasy, compared to the Magic, the older ship. Which would you pick now, going on a refurb ship, and then?
Still the classic ship, still the Magic and the Wonder, just because they're not they feel a lot cozier. They feel, it doesn't feel like you're going across a theme park to get somewhere. The Fantasy and the Dream definitely feels like when you go back to your room, feels like, oh gosh, see you in an hour, you know?
Yeah. I kind of like that. I like the Titanic kind of feeling. Not Titanic, you know what I'm saying.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I'm saying. The Titanic's like an ocean liner, like a big giant ship.
I prefer my ships to float.
Yes. Yeah,
never refer to the preference of cruise ship that you want. Is, you know, I like the Titanic kind of feeling.
Any questions, Will?
No, I want to hear more.
Yeah, the new restaurant. So when they originally built the ships, they had the animators, and then they had one that was kind of a French style that was either Tritons or Lumiere's, and then they had a restaurant, Will, called Parrot K. And Parrot K was this weird Caribbean sort of tribute to the parrot.
The majestic bird.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine calls it the dirty bird, but yeah, it was not my favorite restaurant. And so it's now dedicated to a new bird, Jose Carioca. So it has this like Brazilian
from the Three Caballeros.
Three Caballeros, yes,
the good one, the one the what color is it, green?
So yeah, the new restaurant, the food was definitely an upgrade. The room was definitely an upgrade. And while we were on the ship, they announced the Wonder refurb is getting kind of a Princess and the Frog Tiana's
theme.
Well, that's kind of cool.
So
New Orleans
theme with some live entertainment mixed in, which is kind of new for...
That I would do, because that movie just doesn't get enough love in my book. I know people, it's not universally loved. I love that movie. Yep. So I especially love the music in that movie. So I'm all about it. That sounds awesome. does the magic stay in Europe, or does it head back?
It when we left, it was on its way back to New York.
Okay.
For some New York sailings, and then it ends up, I think, in Miami.
Okay.
And then it might end up in
Texas or something.
Texas, yeah, it kind of does that. It's that one that kind of hops around for a while.
But you'd recommend?
Absolutely, and I'd recommend the Mediterranean. The Italian ports were absolutely amazing. You know, everything on the boat was just. It was a really great trip. We did miss a port. We were supposed to go to Nice.
That's my mind again. Like, man, what happened? You couldn't
the port? Seas, they couldn't. We were supposed to do tenders, which are terrible if you have to do them.
Swipe right.
Swipe
right.
Had
to get it in there.
Oh, the puns on the show today are fantastic.
That wasn't a pun, was it?
Yeah, just a joke. Yeah. Go ahead. So you missed a port, which is a bummer.
But they charted us. We got an unexpected stop, which is supposed to be. So we had a day at sea, and then they switched it. We went to Marseille, France, in the Provence region. So
beach town, right?
I didn't find the beach, but we did find a lot of soap and lavender, and which because we had all these excursions planned, so we had nothing planned. So we just kind of walked around the city and
got characters. What characters?
Characters. All the Marvel characters were on board, which was a lot of fun. It was kind of weird to see Spider-Man in a Disney cruise ship.
That's awesome. Did any Star Wars ones?
No Star Wars, because this wasn't like a day at sea.
Ah. I didn't know if they just had them. Like,
no.
Like a Marvel character, like they just have Vader out there.
I think it'll come soon rather than later. They had tons of great Star Wars merch.
Yeah. See any movies?
I didn't. It was just... Too normally much. I do a ton of movies, but we were just too busy.
Yeah.
We started our excursions almost every day at like 8 o'clock.
It's not like you.
No, which is not like me at all.
Get ready to look at the schedule. Man, it's working out for us this week. A lot of 8 a.m. breakfast. You have to go, though.
Nice.
But you can't.
Why wouldn't? Because we're gearing up for, you know, DLP Fest. We're
exactly.
excited.
Exactly. And if you guys are going to be around this Friday, it's in 2 stinking days, join us. This is the last time you'll hear us yell and scream about promoting it. I'm sure you'll hear us talk about it later. Join us this weekend, Friday. Come on, DLP Fest. DLPFest.com. Get your tickets. We've been procrastinating. Use the coupon code DLPTALENT10, all caps. Get 10% off. Come here off kilter. So many great bands. Tickets are actually starting to really pick up this week, so make sure you get in and get your tickets now to come join us on Friday night. It's going to be pretty awesome.
Be there or be square.
As Will said, be there, be square. The next day, we're going to be hanging out in the parks. You'll be able to find us. Just keep watch on Twitter and WDW Today Podcast on Twitter and follow Logan, Terry, and Will. And you'll be able to kind of keep up where we are. Probably going to be in the Magic Kingdom in the morning. I know some of us are going to go over to Epcot in the evening on the 1st. And if you're going to be in Universal, which I know is a bad word to say, over on a Sunday night, let us know. We'll at least come. We'll try to say hi. So what do you think about that, Will?
I was just in my mind thinking about editing you out with a bleep. When you said Universal, because you go, I know that's a bad word on this show. I thought that'd be hilarious.
Don't do that. Anything else from the cruise? Any kind of final thoughts that people need to know if they decide they want to take a cruise on the Magic? Because my first thought would always to not be go on the Magic. It would be to go on the new ships. Because it's the new ships. I've been on them. They're clean. They're nice.
I'll say this about the classic ships is the
I like the classic. That's, not the that's, old ships. I know that's what they...
That's the Disney I know, company
course,
line.
Of I'm, course
I'm
it is.
I'm towing the company line on this
Of course
one.
It is.
And I like it because there is something that's sort of nostalgic there. If you went on a Disney cruise, for most people, they're the first experience that you had. But the itineraries are 500 times better on the Magic and the Wonder than they are in the Dream and the Fantasy. The Dream and the Fantasy literally just rinse, repeat year-round. I mean,
yeah.
You're guaranteed to find the Dream in Nassau every week, twice a right. week. It's never going anywhere else until the two new ships come along. But the itineraries that they go, I mean, I've seen some of the new ones. And I would highly recommend a Mediterranean cruise. It was beautiful to get to see.
Getting there is the problem.
You know,
we have a lot of European listeners, so I don't want to say, you know, there's probably 10, 15, 20% of our listeners that aren't in America. So for them, it's an easier journey.
And I would even discourage that. We watched flights. Our flights were a little over $500 a person to go to Barcelona round trip, which, you know.
Well, I mean, you did have the old four-stop Nelson, though.
Well, that was
because... Top itinerary.
Well, we didn't originally, but our flight was canceled, which we'll spare the show from...
I appreciate it.
Flight cancellations and marooned on deserted hotels.
But what number cruise was this for you?
Number 10.
Number 10. Oh, so the big one for number 10.
Big one for number 10.
Where's 11? Where you headed? Did you book on board?
We didn't.
You keeping it a secret?
We're waiting. We haven't picked it yet. It'll probably be...
Easier jaunt.
Somewhere out of Puerto Rico. They do some months where they go to Puerto Rico and they go to the lower Caribbean. That's kind of our our hopeful plan.
I hope to book again. I just haven't had time with the kids a little hard. Hopefully I'll go in December of 2017 is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and guys, if you're seriously thinking about doing one of the smaller classic ships or whatever, the older ships, as Logan, I don't not do them because they don't have some of the amenities. In fact, the Wonders and Dry Dock.
Because they really do have the amenities.
They do have the amenities. Well, the Wonders and Dry Dock right now is going to be...
Does it have the Millennium Falcon?
I don't know.
I think the Dream has the Millennium Falcon.
The Dream has the Millennium Falcon, and I know it's getting a Marvel area. And so they haven't announced exactly what all the Wonder's getting. They're kind of leaking it. But when the Wonder starts, I think it goes straight to Miami. Once it starts cruising, it's going to have some great itineraries. We've actually thought about going on the Wonder just to see it after. Because they do a lot of times in like January and February, you can find some cruises where they're
crazy deals.
Crazy deals at the last minute. So
crazy deals. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for Terry's first part of his trip report. Next week, we're going to talk Disneyland Paris. Which should be interesting. The Phantom Manor. Did you do the Phantom Manor?
I did.
It's pretty terrifying.
We'll
talk about it next week.
For sure.
All right, let's go and move on. Coming up right after this break, listener questions with Lynn. All right, guys. Last chance. We just talked about it, but we're going to hit you with it one more time. De Las Puertas Festival happening this Friday night. If you're listening to this on release day right now, go over to the website, dlpfest.com. Buy your tickets. Use promo code DLPTALENT10, big capital letters. Get 10% off. Come see Off Kilter. It's going to be, look, the event's going to run. Hang out from 6 to 7 with us and all the other great media people. 7 o'clock, and that's when the guitar dance will be rocking around. 7 o'clock sharp. The show is going to start. We're going to open it up with a little Return to Zero. A little four for a dollar. And from there, the night rolls on. It's going to be awesome. Recording podcasts, talking to the Dream Finder, having a blast, and wrapping up around 10:30 is going to win the show. It's going to end with the final act. They're not going to go on at 10:30. That would be too late. Off Kilter will end around 10:30, and then you can head back to Disney Springs and chill out and have some fun. So we want to see you there. DLPFest.com. And now, on to listener questions. Whitlet. Goodbye, Mercer Ken. I'm sick and tired of working.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
It's time once again for listener questions with our good buddy Lynn Testa. Lynn, you're about to be somewhere we wish we all were on a Disney cruise.
On a cruise, it's true.
Yes, Terry just got back from his, so this is a very cruise-heavy show, but we're going to keep the questions a little less crucified. There's a few, but we'll get to it.
Crucified.
Crucified, like we won't be talking about any senators from Texas.
Let's go with, I can reword that.
Or Chevrolet vehicles.
Yes, all right, cruise as in Disney, you got it. Okay, let's move on. Let's start with some questions. Who wants to take the first one?
I'm ready for it.
All right.
Sarah wants to know, hey, we leave Friday. So when I plugged our fast passes into touring plans, on almost every plan, at least one fast pass was not figuring into it. It was unnecessary. Should I try to exchange them for others later in the day? Is that possible? And if so, how?
So there's two things you could do. One is if you open up the advanced options box under the FastPass tab for touring plans, there's actually a little checkbox that you can check that says use this FastPass even if it doesn't make the most sense. So if it's a FastPass that you really, really want to use, or you think that the touring plan has it wrong, just check that box and it'll automatically use it. But if it's for something like Indiana Jones at the studios, Muppet Vision. Things where you probably don't need the Fastpass yet, go ahead and exchange it for something else. And you can either do that now or do that day of.
Great. I like that answer. Like that answer, Lynn. Thank you.
All right. Terry, you may take this? You got it.
I'll take this one.
Okay.
Because it's a question from Terry Mann. And they want to know, where will Disney technology be in 5 years, 10 years? Ride technology, virtualism, Fastpass alternatives, etc.
One of the things that I'm surprised they haven't done more of is bring in the kind of effects that you see for Celebrate the Magic and Paint the Night over at Disneyland, the 3D projection stuff. Yeah. I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen that in an attraction. The reason is it seems fairly straightforward to implement in a room type attraction, like Haunted Mansion or Small World or something like that. And I think that's the next thing that you would see. And the reason why is it is relatively inexpensive. You can change it up pretty quickly, and Disney already has experience using it. So I think that might be one of the things you're seeing.
Looks awesome.
Having just gotten back from Disneyland Paris, the ride architecture that they use in Remy is mind-blowing, is a lot of that. Hands down, the best dark ride Disney has ever done.
So it's a combination of screens, projection, and traditional dark ride elements, right?
Yes, and the crazy thing is, Lynn, is the literally just the ride architecture. It moves almost trackless.
Yeah.
It's not like trackless like the tractors are, where the track kind of like
There's no track.
Yeah. It just seems like it feels like you're on like a magnet moving around.
I think that's what it is.
Nice.
And rumor has it
coming to France, so we'll see.
Yeah, there's no reason why that attraction is not in France. It's
the big question I've got is, do you guys think that obviously he's saying 5 and 10 years in the future with all the implementation, even with like the presidential debate, having a VR experience, like how soon, not even 5 years, 10 years, I feel like it's a guarantee. How quickly do you think we're going to start seeing virtual reality elements in the park?
Less than a year. I would be willing to bet. Maybe 2 years.
2 years. I think 2 years.
To get.
So that VR is part of what I heard they might test in the replacement for Stitch's Grid Escape, which is the Sugar Rush.
Which would make total sense. And it would make sense why they're seasonally closing.
Right. They can work on one work on one theater while the other one's running or whatever.
Right. They can drop it, move it in, move stuff in and out. I think it'd be awesome. But
That's what I think.
The VR could burn really hot, though. So that's why I'm a concern. Because like Six Flags already has it.
Right.
Like if we go down to Six Flags Halloween this year in Georgia, the roller coaster is a game where you actually are shooting down demons flying at you for their Halloween, which sounds unbelievable. But the question is Disney going to get kind of have to perfect that tech?
Yeah. Like I feel like if it's kind of lame, it dies real fast.
Yeah.
But if you have it perfect, you know, it could be really, really innovative.
All right. Let's go to Peter. Peter is a Chicago Club member. He said, what's the new stay duration break even point for an annual pass?
Oh man!
Depends on
what pass, and depends on the kind of hotel you normally book at. I think for the last time I checked for a value resort, it was something between 10 and 13 days, depending on when you went and the discounts were available. And I think the deluxes were still around 6. Nice, and that excludes parking, obviously, because if you're staying offsite, you need to include $20 a day for parking. But somewhere in there, and the moderates, you know, were somewhere between those two dates.
Yeah, it still hasn't shifted that dramatically.
And I would always say that it's always 2 stays. If you're coming twice to the parks,
it's worth it.
There's no way that a magic your way ticket would be a better alternative to 2 stays. Even if it was just like you were coming for 3 days and then you knew you were going to be there with your grandma for a day, the annual pass still is the better deal.
Yeah, I just, as long as you're in the right amount of days, I just did this week because we're coming down for the festival, but a person that travels with us with the girls because we need an extra set of hands. I think it was going to be, if I just bought her Magic Your Way ticket 4 days, I realized that it would have been just double to go ahead and get the annual pass. So my head was just like, well, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and do that. The annual pass without water parks. So I'm going to go ahead and do that because I guarantee you we'll be back for at least another 4 days stay, and probably 2 or 3 more times just because we just travel a lot to Disney World. So it made total sense for us.
Amanda asks, when are room discounts for January 2017 and beyond coming out?
Room discounts for January 2017 and beyond. So typically what I use is look for mousesavers.com's historical discounts page.
There you go.
At the end, if you ever had to answer that question, I would do it. So let me just check real quick. January 2017, right? Let's see when they came out for 2016.
I feel like we need music when this is happening, Lynn. I feel like, I don't know if Jeopardy really would do it justice or, I don't know.
Yeah. It looks like it's very late. It would be very late. Late. It'll have to be late this month. So for this time, January of 2016, they became available this week in 2015.
Okay.
But then they continued to become available all the way through the end of October. So sometime during the next month, some of them became available as early as December. So between now and early December, they'll become available.
All right. So just keep a watch on that. All right. I'll take the next question then. This is from Michelle. She said, any word, and I think you're probably wrong, but any word on if Launch Bay will switch from Kylo Ren back to Darth Vader since he is in Rogue One? I don't think there's been any talk
Darth
about
Darth Vader's
that.
In Rogue One?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, spoiled it. Where's the spoiler alert on this?
I'm sorry. Well, it does take
time. I need a trigger warning. What?
Well, sorry. But, yeah, Darth Vader's going to be in Rogue One. I don't think they've made any mention of Vader coming back.
I haven't heard anything on it.
I would doubt it, because you're going to see Kylo Ren show up in one more year, unless they just rotate it in and out for fun, which they could. But
they've got the cards.
Yeah, it's not like it'd be hard, but there hasn't been any information about it. Will, did you want to take the next one from Susan?
I got the next one from Susan. We're staying at Port Orleans Riverside in March 2017. Which of the four bus stops is the first pickup for the resort? Also, or do you want to answer that first, or do you want me to keep going?
Go ahead, keep going.
All right. Also, what would be your recommendation for a building close to this stop where we might be able to request two double queen and one king room, all garden view, near each other, adjoining if possible? Thanks. Very, very specific there, Susan.
Huh. Interesting question. So, assuming they don't share a bus, I believe the first one, the first bus stop is the lobby check-in, then Sasagula Circle, yeah, the Alligator Bayou one, then the one by Building 80, then the one by Building 85. So Alligator Bayou, let's say it's either going to be the Alligator Bayou one by Buildings 25 and 34 or the lobby. If you wanted to get something in Alligator Bayou and split the difference, I think that's reasonable. What do you want?
Which building would be close to that stop where they could request two double queen and one king room?
Queen and one king room. That's an interesting question. So they specify a view. Let's say garden
view. Garden view is what they specify.
Okay, so they would be buildings 16, 17, 25, 24, 25, 28, and 26. So awesome. 16, 17, anywhere in there. You know, you would probably want to pick something like 17, which is closer to the pool, or 28, which is a little bit farther away from the pool, depending on your preference for noise of the pool versus convenience of the pool. And again, it's halfway between the lobby and the bus, any set of bus stops. So I think in terms of compromising, that's the way to go.
All right. Hopefully that answers your question. All right. I'll take this one. This is from Mallory.
Logan's on Team Mallory, by the way.
I am on Team Mallory, so I'm taking it. Team Mallory, are we starting to see fewer closures and technical difficulties with Frozen Ever After? I don't know. Lynn, I don't think so.
Maybe a little bit, but I don't know that it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not spitting up as much blood as I used to.
Yeah.
Oh, my problem is I'm still spitting up blood, right? Yeah. So I think, you know, you're seeing some stuff, but I was there last week. It was down, I think it was in Epcot 3 days. It was down all 3 days for, you know, various periods of time. It's still got some issues. So I don't expect that to be resolved.
Now, do we even know what the issues are?
So apparently it's in they didn't modify the ride track very much, but the one place where they did ride it is sort of the big show scene where I think they added a bend in there. And that apparently is causing some problems with the boats.
Okay.
And the synchronization of all of it. So the way that Disney wants it is you want the boat to start reversing just to sort of,
climax of the song, kind of
the climax of the song. Yeah. And that's difficult. Yeah. So the sensors, you know, it's hard to do that with,
when it works, it's pretty awesome though.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, with that being said, though, I do want to say is with Frozen Ride, so these aren't the problems like Splash Mountain where it's like that animatronic is just off. This is a real reason these things are breaking down. So,
yeah, isn't a rabbit not bouncing right. along. But
which is every time. Or like the refurb they just did of Small World, but half the things are still busted.
Did you see that, speaking of Small World, did you see that they stopped showing family names?
Yeah. They pulled the magic band.
$1 billion shot to heck. Oh, well.
Yeah. I wonder if it's going to go back, if they're like just perfecting it. I mean, it was cool. My son liked it. He was sort of just like, oh, okay. It's like, no.
So
E.T.'s been doing it for 20 years.
Exactly. We spent somewhere between $1 and $2 billion. We got the ability to schedule fast passes in plastic wristbands.
Right.
It seems like that was not a decision that we would remake again.
Hopefully they do get to fix them, because some are cool. They pulled the Haunted Mansion ones, I think, out too, so they don't say, like, the come home with me to Florida or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
So they've just kind of disabled all of the RFID things in the rides. I'm sure there's a reason, whether it's just not worth it to keep it up or...
Romanian hackers.
It could just be they're, could just be they're trying to fix it.
I think people were probably putting inappropriate names.
Jerks.
Used to do that in the old E.T.
You did a lot in the E.T. E.T. was pretty smart.
We've like named our Magic Bands after characters before, and still our names would show up on the...
Yeah. Like my Magic Band says Daddy, because my wife made it, and it says Daddy on it. So, but it comes with Logan.
Yeah.
It comes with Logan.
But. Yeah, okay.
Do you think... So I want to dig a little deeper, because I noticed in Paris that... Throughout the day, almost every ride was going down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we have deferred maintenance issues because of budget cuts at Disney?
I think in Paris is a special case, but yeah. And, you know, but France, you know, it could not be maintenance. That could just be, you know, regular French insouciance, right? They could just be, you know, they're the French. They're inscrutable. Who knows why it's right?
I have to take my cigarette break. I cannot maintain the ride right now.
As far as deferred maintenance go, you know, I don't think that's the case. And the reason is I think they were cutting capacity over the summer, so running the rides less than they normally would, and that would indicate that they would need less maintenance. But, you know, I could be wrong. I think there are certain things like Space Mountain, Tower of Terror. Those are engineering problems, right? The ride mechanism, even if it's state of the art, isn't good enough to run all day, every day. There's no reason why Tower of Terror should be down as often as it is.
Could ride it right now in the dark in California.
Low power.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but you know, other things I think you would see maintenance before that. But I don't see Disney as really skimping on maintenance. They might cut the capacity of the rides to produce it, but in terms of like taking it or having it go offline because of deferred maintenance, I'm not entirely sure.
All right. Who wants to take the next question?
I got the next one. Vicky Marie wants to know, our annual pass runs out during our October trip and we're not renewing it. Mm-hmm. So we have a spare day. What would you suggest to do outside the parks with a 6 and 9-year-old? We are staying at Pop with no car. By the way, we were there for 5 weeks in the summer, so we did a lot then. Well,
nice.
Are you telling me you've done everything there is to do? Just take a nap on that day.
Yeah.
I would enjoy the pool in the morning and then maybe go to Winter Summerland golf course. I love that putt-putt course there on property. I think the putt-putt is something that people forget about a lot of times on property. And it's every time my wife and I do it, we go, hey, why did we not do this last time we were here? Because right. It's so different. And I might buy those passes for while you still have that discount.
Good idea.
Buy that. Use your annual annual pass discount to pay for those, and maybe use them use the tickets the next day. But
yeah, Winter Summerland is fantastic. It's the most kid friendly of the miniature courses. You can get to it by either going to a theme park and then going over to the Blizzard Beach. You know, but yeah, it's easy to get to. You can come back. You know, while you're there, you might go to Disney Springs. The other thing you could do is resort tours. If there's a resort that you've never visited that you've always wanted to see, pop by that. So Animal Kingdom Lodge, Wilderness Lodge, something like that.
I like also, this is something Logan introduced me to because we took his son there, is going by Art of Animation. So that's kind of one of the resorts you're saying do a resort tour. Art of Animation for a 6 and 9-year-old kid, I think would be kind of fun. Getting to see the cars, getting to see I don't know the genders of your children, so maybe some might like the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And there's the arcade in there, and there's some cool stuff.
Yeah, and if you're at Pop, you could practically walk there.
Right.
Connected, yeah. I think.
So there's a bridge.
There's a bridge.
You can walk.
Yeah, but okay. All right. Who's taking next one?
Me? You got the next one.
I'm taking next one. So next one is from Brian. Is that right?
That's right.
I lost my train of thought there for a second. Brian Babick said, should I get an annual pass or an iPhone 7? I can only afford one, and I just moved to LA. Well... This is an interesting 7. Thing. I'd go iPhone 7 if you're in LA. Are
you, talking
about
every day?
Yeah, are you talking about an AP to Disneyland? He didn't specify that, so
he didn't. Yeah, so if it's to Disney World, I would probably forego the annual pass.
But if it's if you're moved to LA and you want to go to Disneyland, I kind of feel like it's almost a required tax when you live in
Yeah,
Southern California, you got to have
it. Step onto your rent, right? I mean, didn't they just bring back the Southern California seasonal pass?
I do not know. That'd be good to know. I can check.
I think they did it in the, last week. Yeah.
All right. I'll check with Jenny. She'll let us know.
So Kurt Sutton wants to know, what will happen first? Universal will announce, design, build a completely new hotel, or Star Wars Land will open?
Easy. Oh. Universal.
Yeah. I don't think that's really even a question. Yeah.
Do we have a timeline at all? Even suggested rumored timeline for Star Wars?
You know, the earliest I heard is 2019.
Yeah. Oh, then no question. Universal has a new hotel.
Yeah.
On the other side
Universal
of Volcano
Universal will have another park by then.
By 2019, Universal will have announced another park.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We already got Volcano Bay, and after that, we'll have Nintendo Land, and all that'll be ready. Hey, but I've heard positives and negatives because of that kind of stuff. So, I'm trying to play neutral.
Beep. That's I just said Universal, so I had to beep it out.
Okay. Damn. All right. Next comment.
Tia.
I think Tia Amel.
She listens to the podcast.
Okay, cool.
Tia Amel says, are the Star Wars fireworks expected to last through the end of the year? How far in advance can you make reservations for the dessert party?
Now, we put this up. We also put up one on Twitter from Dr. Gandhi, who said, any idea why there's no Star Wars fireworks when he's there November 12th through 16th? A lot of people actually are asking about this. So let's just talk about Star Wars fireworks. What's going on? Is this actually them going down? They just haven't put it on the books yet?
I think right now, as far out as November 6th, the schedule seems to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay.
For the fireworks, so it's not going to happen every day, and that schedule is consistent from the day that we're recording this through November 6th. It stops suddenly then, and I think they just haven't put it on the books at this point. If you think about the things that the studio needs to draw people, the last thing that management would do would be take away something as good as those fireworks.
It's amazing. And again, all props to James Michael Roddy, who's a friend of the show, friend of Scare Zone, and a friend of this show. He's a show designer there who created that. Great guy. And also just go see that show. You'll love it. Yeah. I did notice that when we're down there, it's really early in the evening now. They are doing like at 7:45.
Yes, yeah, 7:30, 7:45.
So watch out, because you would not expect that. I would be in the park just hanging out, expecting, I got like till 9:30. No, it's going early now, so just keep a watch of the schedule. Don't just assume. So that's a great comment. I kind of filled in with Dr. Gandhi.
So Terry, take the Twitter question at the top of page 2.
From Daffy Stardust.
Once again.
Would they save time in line if they focused on the regular food kiosks at Epcot and counter service spots instead of the food and wine kiosks during Food and Wine Festival?
It depends on when you go. When I was there last week during the day on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, the longest line that I waited in was 3 minutes. And some of them were, essentially walk up. But if you're going on a weekend, the fastest thing to do if you just want to eat is to go to a counter service. Is go to a counter service restaurant or one of the standard places that's always there. So it depends on when you're going and where. The other thing is it kind of depends on where you're eating. Some of the more popular places, the American Adventure stuff, the barbecue things there, that tends to be fairly crowded with longer lines. Anything involving, I think, champagne is also popular. So.
So, Lynn, since we're going this weekend, are there any must eat or must do's at Food and Wine for us this weekend?
I really liked. So, there's speaking of the American thing. One of the things I liked the best was there's this barbecued brisket served on top of pimento cheese, which is itself on top of toasted garlic, Texas garlic.
Speaking
toast.
My language, yes,
I know, right? With a just a touch of a caramelized onion jelly. So it goes cool, hot, cool, hot. And the bread provides some crunch and some spice. The barbecue is very sweet. I thought it was actually one of the best things in Food and Wine. And I did not go into that with any sort of expectations about it being good. I thought that was really good. I did like the spicy Szechuan chicken over in China, even though it's probably something that you could get in 100 different places around the country. I thought it was particularly well done. There's in South Korea, if anyone's vegetarian or vegan, they do this beefless tip thing over rice with a pickled cucumber. And ooh, the balance of those flavors is actually really good. Like if somebody told you this is vegan, it's not really, cubes of beef, you probably wouldn't know.
Huh.
Yeah, and the sauce balance is really good.
By the way, I feel like I'm listening to Lynn Testa's new show on Food Channel.
I thought those things were really good.
I already did that tequila one.
Yeah, right. We'll have to come back to this because I actually brought my list of receipts.
Ooh.
So when you guys get back, we'll
have a whole show.
Speaking of receipts, there's an article from the Orlando Sentinel that's been going around today. It's saying like how much you would have spent if you ordered every solid food item and had every drink.
Yeah.
It's gonna be hundreds of dollars.
It's $1,274.33. My whole thing is. You can't physically do that. I mean, maybe if you went multiple weekends, but I get the novelty of the article, but not really shocking. There's a lot to choose from there, right. You know? So yeah. That was kind of my whole thing. I just wanted to insert that there.
All right. Last question of the day.
Chris Channing
says, leave it up to Mike Newell to decide.
My wife is
waiting for him to call. He's still not calling. No.
My wife is due in February with twins. We have a 3-year-old. Family members are in early phases of planning a trip for next fall, which we need to attend. Mm-hmm. And suggestions as to traveling with a 6-month-old twins and best planning and tips for this type of trip. And so, I wish Logan's wife was on today because she could nail this.
Tweet at Amanda Seculo and she will be happy to answer you all your needs. She really will, but she's done this before and helped out. Or you can add her on Facebook, send her a message. She's cool with helping listeners. What I can at least say is because I have twins and a 3-year-old. And so... that's odd. But so for Chris, his wife is doing February with twins. I'm sick, a 3-year-old. So, my kids are obviously older now, but they're kind of around the same span of time. Depending if your twins sleep and mine don't, it's tough. It's really tough. I'm not going to lie to you guys. If we're doing it once again, and this is kind of our second run this coming weekend, if it goes anything like the first run, I have a feeling we may not be going as a whole family for a while. It's pretty tough with the twins young. They wake each other up a lot, especially if you don't have any help. If you're someone coming with you, a mom, a grandma, your mom as a parent, a grandma or a nanny or someone just to help, that's a game changer. But there's still those nights, especially if you want to get up early, really difficult. Flying is not that bad. It's not really much different than just driving. It's annoying to get through the airport, but not too bad.
I think the best tip you've mentioned personally is the stay off property in a house.
Yes.
Because if you're confined to rooms, the twins are going to keep the 3-year-olds up. No one's going to be able to get any rest.
Unless you can afford a crazy, villa, deluxe, bed, multi-bedroom. But even that, the walls are thin. We will not travel with the whole family right now at their current ages, which my twins are now 10 months old and my boy's about to be 4 years old. We could not do it without going through a vacation home rental, whether that's an all-star, whether that's another one. We stay out there. Yes, it can be a pain compared to if you could stay, at the Contemporary and hop on the monorail. So yeah, for getting park to park, it's nice because if you stay on property, because you have to do car seats and all that. But for your own sanity, a bedroom wouldn't be bad. Hey, you could pick a night. Your wife could pick a night to stay up all night with your kids if you need to. So you actually get sleep in separate bedrooms. So I would encourage that. For the parks, the girls mainly go, my twins, to the Magic Kingdom. They'll probably, this trip coming up, they'll do Magic Kingdom, and they may do Hollywood Studios to see the Disney Junior show. That's about it. They don't really go to Epcot much with us because really there's not much a whole lot for them to do that is interesting. Now the girls are little, but my boy even. Animal Kingdom can just get so hectic and hot and sweaty. If you're pushing a double stroller, you know what that feels like. You're pushing a double stroller up those hills at Animal Kingdom. It's not comfy. So I would suggest really hyper. Obviously, you can hit all the parks, but Magic Kingdom is probably the most kid-friendly when it comes to the ways in and out of the parks. It's a little bit quieter when it comes to there's a great baby center. So there's options there. I could go on and on. Feel free to message me or my wife. We'll be happy to answer your question, Chris, or send me an email. This came from email. Send me a response, and I'll be happy to go over it a little bit more in detail. All right.
Good luck, Chris. You're going to need a buddy.
Good luck, and I'm happy to help where I can. It's going to be hectic, but you'll get some amazing pictures and have fun. All right. Do character dining. I'd say that as well. All the characters come to you. And you don't have to worry about that. So that's something I would highly, highly encourage. Especially character dining not in a park. Because then you don't have to worry about going through park entrance and all that. You can still get your Mickey Mouse pictures. So, All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you guys so much. I want to see you all out there this weekend at DLP Fest. Again, dlpfest.com. The reason we're pitching it this much, guys, it's on Friday. So come see us. Shake our hands. Get some photos. Wear your adult whip shirts. Rock and roll. It's going to be a lot of fun all night long. Well, till 10:30. Out in Claremont. The Claremont Performing Arts Center.
So many amazing things were just said.
DLP.
Wear your adult whip shirt. Rock and roll. All night long.
Till 10:30. DLPFest.com. Come join us. We're going to have a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to feel like all your favorite Disney bands under one roof, under one time. Almost like a big private party show. It's going to be a blast. DLPFest.com. And special thanks, obviously, to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter.
Who you'll hear on Friday.
Yep, come see them. And then, Terry, you good? Anything to plug?
Nothing to plug.
Will, anything to plug?
Yeah, go over to... I'm just kidding.
You can plug. Yeah, plug my podcast.
Yeah, go over to whiskeypodcast.com. P-O-D-C-A-S-K. Check out my podcast.
New DVC podcast coming out tomorrow?
Yeah, new episode.
Yeah, so make sure you check out that, Top of the World, the DVC podcast. I got Scare Zone coming out each and every Friday through the Halloween season. A lot of great people. Also, I have a new show that I am just co-hosting. I told the man running it, Dylan Spears, I don't have time for another podcast, but I'll sit with an hour and play video games. If you like pro wrestling, I know a lot of you do, and you like video games, check out All About the Game, the pro wrestling podcast. You can find it on my social media. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
We'll see you on the next show.